What is up, everybody? This is Recap Rewind. I'm J-Lag.
And I'm NB.
And we are recapping, reviewing Riverdale Season 7, Episode 14. It's called Chapter 131, Archie, the Meath.
Don't forget, guys, stick around for the ending of the podcast because we're going to go through our recap roundups, our best moments, our best lines, and your guys' recap roundups. So be sure to stick around for that.
And as always, to our continued listeners and our brand new ones, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. Let's get into the episode, y'all. So as you can tell, or maybe not tell,
we are in the same room.
We're in the same room, but we had to do like a setup because we couldn't figure out the angles.
The MacGyverness that has happened.
So we did it. We did the damn thing.
For you guys.
We are here to do the damn thing together. So we're just going to get into the episode, but right off the top, thoughts. Thoughts, feelings.
Yeah, my thoughts are just, I hated it. I just hated it. Not because I hate musicals in general. Like, you guys know I hate musicals, but like, and like, I do like the other Riverdale ones that they've had. Like, I do like them. This one, I wasn't vibing with. I felt like we didn't progress the story in any way.
Sure.
And I felt like some of the things that we got, specifically like Betty and Veronica, just didn't feel right this week. And I will get into that more later on in the episode.
I am interested in hearing what you have to say about it because I didn't love it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it for different reasons.
Yeah.
I was interested to know, just right on the top, for anyone who's listening and watching, like, is this a real musical? Because I thought that the songs in general were really well constructed.
Yeah.
Really well done. I was really impressed by the music itself. But in terms of like what it all kind of, how it all came together and like the fact that it focused on Kevin a little bit, which was kind of nice, but also like weirdly randomly put in the episode 14.
Yeah.
Like we're finally getting something, but still kind of didn't connect with everything. But anyway, we'll talk about that as well.
And I do feel like they mentioned that a couple of times. They're like, this is an original production.
Right. So anyway, let's get into the episode. It starts off with Archie waking up. The musical starts right off the top. Everyone's singing. Archie's getting ready. Betty's getting ready. Veronica's getting ready. Jughead's getting ready. Cheryl, Tony, everyone kind of like comes in. And then they have that like big moment at the front of the school where everyone's singing. These are the days
of our lives.
And then that is actually the scene that they're all playing out in the music room for Kevin, who is putting on this play with Clay, and they're trying to showcase it to Principal, what's his
Featherhead.
Face? Featherhead.
Right.
Before it goes into production for the spring music.
Yeah, and that's like one of the things that I did appreciate was that like they switched it up this year. It wasn't like in production already. They weren't on the stage in the theater room. Like they were still practicing like the concept of like, how do we pitch this to him and accept it? So I did like how that was different this time around.
In comparison.
They were like in their costumes. Like it was, they were like trying to like, yeah.
So right off the top, Reggie, Jughead out. They're like, we're not singing here. Cole Sprouse is like, I don't sing. Reggie's just like, I don't sing either. But they did have little parts in that.
They did. And it was pretty good. Cole Sprouse was really good. Yeah.
But they were out right away. And then at the very, very end of the scene, Kevin asks Julian and Archie to hang back because they have to sing the I Want song. So then Archie and Julian sing the I Want song. And halfway through the song, basically, Archie's like, this isn't speaking to me. Something's wrong with it. And you can see like visually, like as they're singing, because they're taking like back and
forth. It's like a music video.
Yeah. Like he's singing and he's doing his own thing. And then Julian's singing a part. And then at one point they even harmonize. And I think that's when Archie breaks it off. He's like, I don't understand why my sister said he's like singing, harmonizing with me.
Yeah.
And then he kind of gets frustrated because visually you see Archie kind of struggling and thinking about like this I Want song in one way. And Julian kind of basically talks about the fact that like he has everything laid out in his life. He's like, his life is perfect. He's awesome. Everything's fine. But then Kevin asks him like, what do you want? What is your like I Want statement? Do you want Betty? Do you want Veronica? Do you want to play basketball? Do you want to do poetry? And then he gets overwhelmed with all these questions. I don't know. It was a lot of like that.
Yeah.
Archie, this episode. Right?
Yeah.
But then Kevin asks, he tells him that him and Clay are going to try to write a new I Want song. Don't worry about it. As they're leaving, Clay and Kevin have a little conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being the support. And they have a little
kiss on the lips.
So finally, we're getting a little bit of Clay and Kevin action. How do you feel?
Kevin, yeah, it was pretty Kevin heavy. And like, I would say like probably the heaviest Kevin that we've gotten all series. Like, yeah, this was really a deep dive into his familial like drama and like how it made him feel. Yes. And I did appreciate all of that. Again, feel like it just came way too late in the series. Great. Would have loved this in the beginning for a season. But we do get a lot of that. I felt like the musical took a little bit away from his storyline because it was so like, yeah, like full of really good things.
Yeah.
I felt like it did take away from it, but I understand why they like looped it in with they his storyline as well. Because like it is his outlet, right? Like that the theater and the like that production is his outlet from like his family, like drama.
Say, like talk about being cliche, like the gay storyline. Anyway, so they have their little moment. Then it cuts to Pop's diner, and Cheryl, Tony, Betty, and Veronica are talking about Archie. I think this is like a musical.
Yeah. Again. Oh, because I think like Cheryl was saying like we don't even want Archie.
Oh yeah, yeah. So the first they have their like singing moment.
Right.
It's like the four of them in Pops just singing about things, and then Betty's like, "I'm the best one for Archie." Veronica's saying like, "I'm the best one for Archie." And then weirdly, Cheryl says that
like Cheryl and Tony come in after. I was like, "Wait, what?"
After, and actually, I originally wrote the notes like, "Why are they even talking about this?"
Yeah.
And then of course it cuts, and they're all singing in the choir room, and they're like, "Okay, cut it." They talk about how bad it is. Veronica basically says, "I want my people from Hollywood to like rewrite the entire thing." Cheryl and Tony are like, "Why are we even in the song?" You feel it feels like
it did feel like I have to say at this point, like I was judging Kevin. I was like, "This is shit." Like,
you've written
these girls so incorrectly. First of all, like he just like went off his own like way and like wrote like these girls.
Yeah.
So I totally understand what they were saying. Like Cheryl and Tony were like, "What?" Like, when do we want Archie?
The one thing that I wanted to really understand was like, why wasn't Kevin the main character of this musical? Like,
outside
of the fact that like Riverdale is Archie focused, so Archie centric. When he's like Archie,
because he's trying to sell this concept of this all American boy to Featherhead. Uh-huh. So like, how is he going to sell his story? To, you know what I mean? Like, I think it always was always because I was asking those questions too. And then every time, like, it came back to, like, we have to sell this to Featherhead, this wholesome American-os, like, story. Like, right, everyone's going to love it. I was like, okay, that's why they're doing all of this.
That makes a lot more sense, for sure. So, at that point in time, when they, like, break the wall, Cheryl basically tells Kevin, like, write something more honest about you and Clay. Like, we don't want to really be a part of this, like, fake story.
Yeah.
So, we're out for now. And then Kevin and Clay approach Archie about the new I Want song. And this time it's a quest for love. And he's like, let's just try you singing this song. So then Archie goes and tries singing this song. And it's like, the visually, he's like going to the Babylonium and he's like talking. And he's watching two different films, like one with Betty and one's with Veronica. It was cute.
I liked it. No, visually, like it was cool.
Visually, they set it up really cool.
Again, it's just one of the tropes that like, I feel like we played with in the beginning seasons.
Yeah.
Because it was so cute and like so juvenile.
Yeah.
I just wish we got that playing with that earlier. Because at this point, it really just felt like, we've gone so far from that. But yeah.
Actually, and I do want to like take a break and like maybe we should talk about that in general.
Yeah.
I do feel like, number one, the theme on this entire like musical did not feel like, I did not resonate.
Of course, right?
It's about high school students.
Yeah,
it's about this thing, and I mentioned it. I think a few episodes in our podcast where we've grown up with the show, like we've grown up past where these kids are in their world and in their life. Like, it's even worse. I didn't realize that they were juniors. I thought they were at least seniors.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I was just gonna say that, and you're saying that you can't resonate. They can't even resonate. I don't know who said it. Like Cheryl was like, "Bro, we're not even like." Seniors, like, why are we talking about like prom and graduation? Like, this is not even us. And that made me think, I'm like, was that something that we had to remember?
Right.
In their timeline, that they're juniors?
Right. Because the first season starts off with them as juniors, right? I'm pretty sure.
Or like, what's the other one? Sophomore.
Second year. But I don't really know. But either way, I just feel like I'm so far removed from the show. And watching this musical, and maybe it's because it's like the singing and the dancing, and like, we're talking about friendship.
Awesome. Relationships. Sound great.
Yeah, you're just like, cut it.
I feel like the songs are like bad. I don't know.
I like the songs. The problem that I had was the fact that like I just did not feel like I could find myself resonating with the characters at all. And this is a show that I've been watching for 7 seasons. So for me to watch my characters, the characters that like I've grown to like love, I just felt so far removed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm not in high school anymore. I don't get these stories. They feel very juvenile.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you just mentioned, like it just felt like it felt
and like
not where we should be.
I don't know who said it to Kevin. They were like, bro, like write about our story, like write about us.
Yeah.
And he's like, he writes it. They sing it for like freaking 10 minutes. He's like, oh, that's not going in for the show. I'm like, that's just for us. I was like, oh my God. Like,
anyway, let's get back into the scene. But, yeah. but that is kind of my general vibe of this. So halfway through Archie's New I Want song, there's a part.
Sorry, before you get there, to your point about resonating, by the end of the episode, you're right. I questioned at the end. It felt like a graduation musical.
Yes.
It felt like this is our last. They literally say like this is our last like song and dance. Like, and I got emotional. But I was like, I wish that was the theme of the broad like the play. Like, why did they focus so much on Archie as a person? They should have done like a whole like this is it for us, like Vitamin C style. Like as we go on river. Like I wish it was that.
I know.
Song, yeah.
No, I totally agree with you. That last song.
Yeah, like, I got like choked up.
Finale. It almost made me feel like, did they shoot this in, like as the finale?
Yeah.
Scene.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Because they just wrapped.
Yeah.
But anyway. anyway, they back in the scene halfway through, he sees Reggie playing basketball, and then he sees Jughead typing on the typewriter. First, I thought it was going gay because I
know. I was like, because like, the way he looked at what's his face, Reggie. He's like, I was like, is he seeing Reggie for the first time?
And then he, like, when he saw Jughead, I was like, oh, they're like bringing all the boys back to the yard. So anyway, he's just like, this is not the song I want either. Archie says he needs to step away. This is when he like basically bows out and says, for his mental health, which I also thought was hilarious because like in the 50s,
someone said they were like, that wasn't a thing in the 50s. Like you didn't do mental shit health. For your mental health. Yeah, you just went to war.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, the whole musical is literally about Archie. The fact that he's bowing out.
I've died. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just cancel. Like,
yeah.
Just kill it, Kevin. You should have just called it the Julian. Like, the Julian.
True, yeah. Yeah.
Really, really, if he was smart enough, it would have been about Julian. Because he's the all-American boy and his dad's living in the major. He had a rich. I lost my place in my notes.
Uh-oh.
So yeah, he sings that song, and then it cuts to the Pembroke, and Veronica says that
she's like, I'm a little rich girl.
Yeah.
My daddy buys me everything. I was like, he just like, you conned him into giving him all your money. Like,
so she says she has somebody new on the song. She's talking to Betty about it. And then she says that she needs to get something off her chest. And she talks about the fact that she is Archie.
Yes.
But it didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go. So
no.
Originally, I was like, oh, okay. So she's going to like talk about the fact that she has
feelings for Archie now.
And even Betty was like, so do you have feelings with Archie? And Veronica says, yes. She initially says yes. But then she says, but I like you more.
As a friend?
So what did you think about
it? I don't know. I wasn't sure where this was going because they totally like they did bait us last week with like this fake ass kiss. Yeah, and you were like, okay, that's it now. Like they're not gonna do anything. Like they just teased us, whatever. Because you know they get excited, they get like hype or whatever. But then they're having this legit conversation again, and you're right. Like I'm thinking she's gonna say, like, I have feelings for Archie, like whatever.
Yeah.
But it flips and she's like, but I like you more.
Right.
And I was being like, okay, but as a friend? No, like actually like as a friend or like romantically.
Like,
yeah, like how does she mean it?
No, I think she meant like they want to deepen their friendship or their relationship.
That's what I thought.
But I also don't.
Or like girls over boys. You know what I mean? Like I got you more than I got him, which like I respect it too.
Yeah, exactly. Like chicks before dicks or whatever.
Yeah,
but like I definitely felt like it was very still kind of like relationship.
They didn't even know where they were going go with it. Like it was weird.
Like the writers.
Yeah, the writers. Yeah, the writers.
Yeah, so I was into it, but then at the same time, I was also just, like, very confused as to, like, where they were trying to go
with
the whole situation. And it gets even worse later, because I still don't. Then it cuts to the sheriff's office, and Kevin and Tom are talking. turns out like Tom is sleeping at the station.
He like doesn't look good. Like,
he does not look good. He's like not shaved at all. And he asks about his mom, and Kevin basically says like, oh yeah, she's doing well considering like the circumstances. And then Kevin asks like, why can't you just come home and talk to mom? And then Tom says like, this is adult stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say like, stick to your musicals and your singing and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, said it with a smile, but like, it's hard for me to take like,
I know, I was like, shade.
I know, I was like, are you trying to throw shade? So that was my next question to you. Like, how do you feel about the relationship between Tom and Kevin at this point in time?
I mean, look, at the end of the day, I still appreciate that he said that to him.
Right.
Like he could have been like, go play your sport. And he could have been like, dad, I run musicals. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's at least like he took that and said like, hey, go have fun. Like, go, yeah, yeah.
But I also just didn't understand, like, I didn't understand a lot about Tom's character and why they even threw this whole storyline.
But you know what? We might understand that more once we understand what is going on in Riverdale.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Situation with
yeah. Yeah. No, I agree, because it was so mysterious and, like, it just didn't, like, why did it have to be so mysterious? I didn't really understand that part.
Maybe Kevin's mom just doesn't like the things that, like, Sheriff Keller's doing. And,
like, yeah, maybe he's just, like,
over-controlling and stuff.
Yeah. So then it cuts to Kevin and Clay with Tony and Cheryl in the music room. And this is the moment that you were saying where he wrote this song about gays in love. And it's a really good song.
Like being yourself and like seeing like,
I love you so much. Yeah. And you're like, you're the one for me. And like the world would stop if we
and like together. Great Shoney scenes, great Clay and Kevin scenes. Yeah, it's like very like intimate. Kissing. Yeah. Like it was cute. But then at the end, it's like, burr! Like we can't put that in there. I was like, okay.
I was like, what? So...
Which I understand, but it would have been cool if, like, they found a way to, like, allude to, like, that without, like, saying it.
Right. Like, do some sort of, like, underwaved
in
it. But
yeah,
obviously, that didn't work out.
He's not that good of a writer.
And, yeah, Kevin basically says, like, or Cheryl basically says, like, when you are able to do this out in the world and be public, like, we will be there.
Love it.
But
yeah.
Until then.
Bye.
God, we're gone. We do too. She says something like, we do too much playing and acting.
I will say, like, people were savage to Kevin, and I get why. Like, at the end, like, I feel like he did deserve it, but, like, they were being savage with him. They were like, you're like, thing is shit. Yeah, like,
screw you. But, like, this is the thing that I didn't really understand, is, like, you don't just present your, like, student body with, like, a new musical without even discussing
it. Yeah, like, ask them if they like the song, and then they can, like, perform it.
And also,
like,
if he knew that, he even said it himself at the beginning of the episode. He's like, this is the workshopping part. Like, everything, like,
yeah,
kind of just changes. And then he got so upset about
it.
Like, get over yourself.
He's that guy. You know?
Yeah, he's that guy. So then it cuts to Pop Steiner. Archie and Jughead, really funny scene, are sitting and ordering food from Pop's. And Archie asks for grilled cheese. And Pop's goes, okay, do you want a super salad with that? And then Archie's just like,
I don't know.
Like, slow zoom on his face while he's trying to make a decision. So he's like, I don't know. And then Jughead finally, like, is like, just got his
pulse. He's like, yo.
He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, bro?
You don't have a girl problem.
Yeah.
You don't have a poet problem. You have a can't make a decision problem.
Yeah. So
he's like, I was like, wow, Jughead.
Like, basically an existential crisis.
Yeah.
You need to make a choice. And it's hard because you're making a choice that's going to affect, like, the rest of your life. So, like, that is hard.
Yeah.
And then Archie's like, yeah, you're right. I'm going to sing about it. So then he sings about it at the table, which is very weird. And then he decides to leave. He just leaves without his food. He, like, grabs his grilled cheese and then he, like, dips. Then it cuts to him talking to Frank. And then he tells him right off the top, I'm leaving basketball. I want to pursue poetry. Frank is not happy about it.
I feel like Frank's reaction was fair. Because, like, just finish out the season, bro. Like, your team needs you.
I know.
Like,
I was kind of confused. Like, why are you leaving right in this moment of time? And especially since you're a junior girl and you have
another year. Yeah.
Like, why does it have to happen right now?
Exactly.
So then that happens. Frank is pissed. Then it cuts to Kevin's room. And this was a pretty gaggy moment. So Clay and him wake up to Kevin's mom knocking on the door while they're sleeping together in the same room.
I liked it. It was a cute, like, again, it gave us that, like, look into Kevin's world that we just never get.
He sneaks it. Yeah. So then Clay, like, runs out the window before she, like, goes in, and then Kevin's mom comes in. So finally, Mrs. Keller.
We see her, like, we finally get to meet Kevin's mom. I loved her. She was so cute.
She was really, really cute. I felt like she was like a C-list actress. Like I've seen her. I feel like I've seen her in.
You know what she reminded me of? The actress, Blair's mom from Gossip Girl. Like they kind of had the same face. Like, same face. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. So anyway, so she's like, oh, like, why don't we go for dinner? You, me, and your dad go for dinner after school. And Kevin's like, cool, sounds good.
And he got, like, excited. You could tell, like, he's thinking it's going to be, like, good.
He's like, yeah. Then it cuts to the music room. Veronica and Betty are singing the brand new song that was written by her friend Cole Order. And it's about feeling invisible. It's about, like, not being seen. And the main point or the song is called, like, there's a universe inside. You'll never know unless you, like, you
release it.
See it. And as they're singing, they have this like weird connection, and then the background turns into like God is a woman, and then they start kissing.
Yeah, I was like, wait,
and it's not just like a peck. It's like,
and like Veronica like grabs her. I'm like, whoa,
it was intense.
Did you see it coming at all?
I feel like no, because it wasn't even a song really.
About, yeah, like romance about like their like desire for each other.
It was just about like your own internal stuff. So yeah. I was like, okay. And then they just like got into it. And then they were surprised that they like kissed each other, because then at one point they were like, whoa, that was like an energy exchange.
Yeah.
Even Clay and Kevin were like, whoa, what just happened there?
So that was, yeah.
Yeah. My question to you is, do you think that this is like the tiniest whisper of whatever the F Tabitha is
doing to untangle the world. Something. Oh, yeah. The fact that, like, in the 50s, you don't talk about, like, energy exchange. Like, those words, like, don't exist. Exactly. Now they do. So I do feel like, I do feel like that was definitely, like, a hint at something. And maybe just it's more about these characters, like, connecting with each other. That's going to be the pull that pulls us back, you know?
Yeah. And But, like, that's the thing, like, going back to that whole relationship thing between Veronica and Betty, like, what is the point of this? Anyway, let's talk about this scene and then we can talk about it after. So then it cuts to them in the lounge. Veronica says their connection is primal.
Yeah, like.
Primal thing. And then Betty says it's, like, a mutual thing.
Look, I was shook at their conversation.
Because they were like, we should be pursuing this.
Yeah.
Versus the other connection because that we have.
Because I think Veronica was like, this is no mountain that Mount Archibald could ever like compare to. Yeah, I was like, holy shit. Like they're really like discussing it. Yeah. And again, like in that moment, I'm like, are they talking about the friendship though? Like I get that the kiss, but like, I don't know. I was just like very confused. I don't understand what they're getting to. Are they speaking in terms to relate to what's going to happen and pull them out of the universe? Right. Like, are they really in this moment?
Yeah.
It was a lot of stuff happening. It's a
really, really good question because as I was watching it, as much as I've been enjoying the fact that, like, Betty and Veronica are, like, doing this, like, soul lesbian thing.
Yeah.
Or, like, exploring themselves. Like, I think a few people have already mentioned it. Like, I'm sure Shoni Favonet has already mentioned it in our chat. But, like, the fact that, you know, there's not a lot of, like, push on, like, the real lesbian couple. There is.
Mm.
They have their own story. But it feels like this layer is, like, extra. Like but Betty and
that's what I'm trying to think. Like,
maybe it isn't a lesbian story. Maybe it is just like this.
Well, that's why you're exactly when they're saying an energy exchange.
Yeah.
This is to me. It sounds like that's far beyond this universe. It's like it transcends, and maybe that's what it is. Like in any lifetime, we were meant to be best friends, and maybe like that's universe, what it's gonna be. Yeah, universe, yeah.
You were meant to like.
We were meant to be friends together, or like just like have our path like cross together. That's what I'm hoping for, because I think that's the only thing that will really like make this all make sense. But to dive into a lesbian storyline right now, like I don't know if I'm like buying into it right now. If anything, it should have happened last week when they had that moment.
Right. The one thing that I have questions about though is outside of the fact that they have like, you know, some connections with their mommy issues, some connections with obviously there was like a primal connection. Like, do they really even have anything else in common? Like Betty wants to be a writer. Veronica wants to like, you know, obviously that's only like the professional side of them. So like, I'm not saying that that's all encompassing in their relationship, but I'm just trying to see like what else makes them such a deep,
and
like what makes them such a deep connection.
And even like to that point, like this season, we finally got really cool BNV scenes of them, like really talking about their feelings and their like whatever. But before that, like in the regular seasons, like why were they even friends? Other than like just being in the core four and like dating like the two best friends, like why were they even best friends? Because we never really got to look at these deep dive conversations that these two girls had. Right. Now in this universe, we finally got that. So I can buy it a bit more in this universe.
Yeah. So, but then maybe that's what it is. It's like trying to tie them into this one universal like being.
Yeah.
With, I don't know, whatever type of this in the back end. I actually had a question.
Yeah.
Now that we're talking about like the bigger picture, do you think that whenever Archie finally makes a decision about like who he wants to be with, solidifying that kind of path, everything
maybe or maybe for like everyone, maybe
maybe everybody needs to get there, and that's what they're trying to say. I don't know. Anyway, let us know in the comments if you have any like theories at this point in time, because I do feel like that has to do with some sort of final destination storyline. We don't have many episodes left, right? So like,
What is it, like 22 episodes?
I feel like it's 22 episodes.
Yeah,
into that, but...
and we're at 14.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, in the same scene, Archie comes in like perfect timing and essentially says, he basically says, I don't want to kiss anybody. I've been snogging both of you this whole time. You both are great.
Literally, like, in the middle of their, like, let's be honest conversation, he's like, oh, by the way, like, I don't want you guys. We're good. They're like,
fine, bye.
It was funny, though.
Because at one point, he says, like, you guys, you both are good. And they're like, good.
Good. Just
So he's like, I'm just going to pursue my own thing. I need to, like, focus on myself. And they're like, okay, bye. So that was it. Then it cuts to Pop Steiner, and Kevin's parents tell him they are getting a divorce, and he does not take it very well. He's pretty sad about it, and he just says, like, cool, thanks for dinner.
It always, like, makes me more sad that, like, he's an only child. You know what I mean? Because imagine getting this news. It's already, like, so sad, imagine being the only one to, like, really feel the pain. Having a sibling like makes it so much more like you can talk to your sibling about it and like share your pain. Like this poor kid like couldn't do anything. Like
And here's the thing. As much I know that this is a real story, I know like divorced parents like that is real, whatever. I just feel like it felt so elementary in terms of how they delivered this to their audience who had been sitting with these characters for seven fucking seasons. Like we're not stupid, innocent kids who have never watched television before. Like the divorce storyline is so basic to me that I'm just like, why did we care?
I thought that too.
It's not that important to us. Like, for one, Kevin should be like, cool, dad's a dick.
No, you can't say that.
I know
what you said because I felt the same thing. But then when I sat with it, I was like, I'm not a child of divorce. So, like, I can't imagine how traumatic that can be for a kid. And, like, it does shape you. And, like, 100% it does change you. So I can't sit here and say like it's juvenile or it's been because like it is so much storyline. So I didn't want to say that because I said that at first.
Yeah.
And then I like took my, I'm like, no, like that's not nice because like we don't know how that feels, you know?
I get that it's there, but I just felt like if they want to get into it, like go deeper. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to go there, it feels like the way they delivered it was just very like surface level. Like we're getting a divorce and then he gets upset about it. I'm like, of course he gets upset about it.
But I did appreciate like, that happened, but then like we could talk about after like the mom scene. Like I did like that they did that too. Scene. You know, like the they didn't just like end it there. You know.
Yeah, for sure. That's true. So anyway, let's cut to they perform prom night, the song about prom.
We're not even going to prom, but here's prom.
Exactly. And instead of Archie, it's now Julie.
Yeah. Doing the whole thing. And instead of Jughead, it's Clay playing Jughead.
Yeah. And so then he says like he loved the singing. So Featherhead's like, I love the singing. Great job, everyone. I need to take like Kevin to the office. He talks to Kevin and basically says, like, we're not gonna.
Oh my God, I died. He was so hyped. This poor kid. He's like, come. He's like, you like it, right? He's like, yeah, we're gonna cut this and we're just gonna do Oklahoma. He was like, and he was so thoughtful when he came back to the room. He's like, well, guys, so you could scrap that because all we're gonna sing about is wheat. I was like, oh, this guy's so salty.
And then he was basically like, and Edmund's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. He's like, you have to sorry right now?
He's like, oh, you're sorry? Because like you fucking like ripped on me for the whole episode. And he's like, you made fun of all my songs that I wrote. And then he just like sort of. And poor Clay was like, sorry, guys. Like his parents are getting
hurt.
And they're like, oh.
I know, because what he was saying felt like what he was trying to say to his parents. He was like, you don't even hear me. He was like, you want to change everything all the time. And I was like, oh, he is.
Yeah, it's triggered.
So then, yeah, you're right. Kevin and him and his mom have a really sweet moment. Finally, the first time in Riverdale history. It was a really sweet moment with his mom. And
she knows,
yeah,
right?
He basically asks, like, so, like, you know, it feels like this all started when Dad found out about me being gay. And his mom right away reassures him, like, it's not your fault. You, this has nothing to do with you guys, or do with you or who you love.
Yeah.
You're still my son. I love you unconditionally.
Yeah.
So that was a really
special. Oh my God. I loved
definitely
it.
Definitely one of my favorite
ones. Loved it. I couldn't believe we had never had this conversation with one of the main storylines characters. Like,
I know that we had a version of this with Tom.
Yeah, we did. You're right.
Series, but the fact that we never got to see Kevin's
and,
mom and, ever
and
until this moment.
Exploring why his parents aren't even divorced. Like, yeah. That was always a mystery to us, right?
Right. But they still don't really talk about why.
Not why, but like, at least we got to see both parents, like both sides both of the sides parents. Of like,
but I think in the original series, his mom is dead.
No, I think she's like a military person, I think. She's like at war or something.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I think. Because then he's a cop and she's like a war veteran. Or
oh my God, I told you.
I could be wrong, but I feel like that's what it was. Like, she wasn't dead, like, though. I don't think she was dead. I could be wrong. Oh,
anyway, let us know in the comments if you remember if she's dead or not.
I feel like they were like, she's at war. Or like,
not that it makes a
difference. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I thought it was really, really well done. Enjoy that part. So to your point in terms of like how deep they go with the divorce storyline, like, yeah, I guess it's enough.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, like, I feel like if you're going to give this to him, how much deeper are you going to go? Or are you just going to leave it at that? Like, we're 7 seasons in. So like, it's hard for me to.
I think at this point, you got to be fine with what you get with Kevin. That's it.
So then it cuts back to Kevin in the music room, and he's playing a little song, a little ditty. Archie walks in and he apologizes for the fact that, like, you know, sorry I left you high and dry. I just want to thank you for like doing this. Like, it was such a good thing. And then Kevin's like, well, it's got canceled, so it doesn't really matter anyway. And then Archie's like, yeah, I heard it got canceled. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. And then he asks him, like, what song are you singing? And then Kevin's like, well, I'm just like singing this song that I just made up, whatever. He starts singing it, and then Archie starts singing it, and then the whole class,
everyone like
knows every single word, and then they all start singing as a chorus, and that's the end of the episode.
I thought it was cute. I like Ethel cute. Comes in like everyone even like, practicing this song. And then they all like hug at the end, and it's like the end, and I thought that was cute because it like really is their last performance,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. I enjoyed it outside of the logistics as to like how they run.
It was like cheesy, but that's what I mean. That's what musicals are like. Everyone just like knows the words all of a sudden. Like, that's what a
like,
musical
who are we lying to? Like, this is exactly what it is. Anyway, so that is the episode. Like, to your point, was it good?
No. He's like, to your point. Like, you know my point. It's like, no. And it was shit.
Right on the top. Absolutely not. Oh my gosh. let's just get into our recap roundups.
Let's do it.
Recap roundups.
Best moment.
So what was your best moment?
Okay, so my best moment is probably going to be the ending because that, it was the one scene in the episode that gave me feels, and like I almost started to cry. And so I did appreciate the fact that like, holy shit, this is the ending almost,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
So I did love that.
It did feel like, yeah for something. My best moment is going to go to the Kevin and his mom scene. I think every gay boy in the world who has a good relationship with their mom or wants to have a good relationship with their mom felt something in that moment. Like, I think it's a hard conversation to have at the end of the day. Like, you just want to have that unconditional love from a parent, and to hear that, you know, him going through that, I think was a really beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
WTF moment.
What was your WTF moment?
My WTF moment, I think, was the BNB kiss. Because I just really, after the last week's episode, I didn't expect it to happen like again. Yeah. And like, I didn't know what to expect. I still don't understand what it all means.
Right.
And like, what, they're going to want a relationship moving forward? Like, what does this all mean? So it just really caught me off guard.
That's the thing. Like, we're saying, 14 episodes in, Betty and Veronica, are they going to be the catalyst for the big change that's going to come down the pipe? Like, I'd be really intrigued, very interested if that's what they take with this. Like, we're all like questioning, like, is this relationship going to be this whole like thing? But maybe it is like the spark.
Yes, you're right.
I don't know.
And what's also interesting too is that we get a Jughead and Archie scene in this episode.
For the first time.
For the first time, literally all season, they have been non-existent friends. And to see them sitting at Pops and like talking about this, I was like, you guys don't even talk about these things. Like, I was very shocked at that too, because like, we haven't gotten that friendship either.
Sure.
So that kind of shocked me as well. And like, now wondering like, what does that mean? Yeah. The core four is like coming back. Yeah.
Whoa. I didn't even think. I just kind of got shivers. I don't know if it's just cold down in my basement. My WTF moment was also Bandit Veronica's.
Yeah.
Because I also felt like I liked it, but I also thought it was really rare.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
MVP.
Who's your MVP?
Oh my God. My MVP? Jeez, that's a hard one.
It's a hard one. I was trying to really rack my brain to kind of think of like, who was the one that like really pulled it all together?
I guess Kevin. Let's give it to Kevin.
Give it to Kevin.
Season 7, episode 14. Let's give it to Kevin. This guy's never made the MVP list. Yeah. Let's give it to Kevin. Yeah.
That's for him. He was like this close to giving, like getting it for me.
Yeah.
I am giving it to Cheryl because I didn't even mention it. Cheryl had so many freaking hilarious lines.
You're right.
This episode.
Yeah.
She was snapping back. She was saying some really funny things. Yeah. I was laughing every time she.
LVP.
Ooh, my LVP is gonna go to. I guess Sheriff Keller, maybe.
Yeah, I was kind of.
Everyone else was okay.
Everyone was fine. I think the one thing that I didn't really like about Keller's character, and it's more just because they didn't write it in, is what I was mentioning before. It's like we didn't get like a ramp up to like a better.
Right.
Like we're like, he's a shitty.
Dad.
And he kind of just sucks at being like a person. And then suddenly he's like, hey, I'm like about to get a divorce. And like, I'm sleeping in a cot in a sheriff's office and like feel bad. Like, I mean, am I supposed to sympathize with him? Am I supposed to feel anything for him? Like, you're still a bad cop and you're still not a great dad. So like, I don't know what to tell
you. So what my question about Tom is that like, they've made him a dad who has accepted his son in a time where like people didn't accept,
right.
You know? So you've made him a man who like accepts that, but then he's also like this weird like cop who like is with those guys.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering like why they chose to give him those two contrasting like ideologies.
That's what I mean.
Like, why aren't they making the dad like doesn't accept his son?
That's what I mean. Like the last time we saw them in a scene together, he was like, what are these porno magazines like get?
Yeah.
Like he was very hostile toward him. Actually, surprisingly, I'm actually not surprised that like Kevin wasn't kicked out of his house.
Right.
Instead, it's like, all like I'm just gonna come visit you at the station because with each other, like it just felt like there was a whole gap of time, and this is why. And sure, maybe Kevin's just not a part of the core four, the main cast anymore or whatever, but the fact that he didn't really get like more story feels like we missed a whole chunk of like what they were trying to develop even in the 50s,
right?
So I just feel like it was a miss, and like because of that we don't really get to know like who Tom is.
Maybe we'll find out what his motivations were. Yeah. Maybe he'll turn to good before the season's end, right? But I do feel like if you're accepting your son in that way and like you still love him, like there's something good in you.
Yeah,
clearly, exactly. You know.
But the thing, the fact that he was able to like in this
episode
be like, oh yeah, like how's your mom? Like how are things? Like he makes it seem like everything's totally fine. So I'm like, okay, so you're good with him being gay.
Yeah.
All right, let's try to like figure that one out.
The best line.
What was your best line?
So my best line, I don't have the exact words, but it's when Veronica's talking about something and she's like, you know, like dramaturgically. Do you remember that?
Yeah. What did
she say? She was like talking about like the production.
Drama, like how it like falls out.
Yeah. She's like, let's do something like dramaturgically. And I don't know if you remember, the guy from Succession said that in an interview like months ago.
Oh, so you think that it's kind of like...
And they asked him a question and he's known to be like this really like loser, like takes himself too seriously, like method actor. And they made fun of him like on set and stuff because like he was method.
Yeah.
And then one interview he was like, you know, like dramaturgical. And the interviewer was like, what? Like, is that even a fucking word? And it is a word. So like he knew he was making sense, but everyone ripped him. And I feel like maybe they gave that line to him, like they're making fun of him. So I just thought that was really funny.
That's it. My line is going to go to the girls, Betty and Veronica, when they go, all this time we've been thinking, when are we going to climb Mount Archibald? When in fact, maybe there are more complex, emotionally complex mountains to climb.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were talking about earlier, what's bigger than that? Like, who knows? Like, that's a pretty big thing to say. So we'll see how that kind of unfolds.
Yeah.
Do we have any?
Yeah, I'm just checking our Instagram here.
Instagram.
I think there was who's this person? Let's do Sierra N.
Okay,
despite what I said last week, I actually did enjoy the episode for the last well, that was like the recap. MVP, best moment. This is best moment. I have a few. The Shoni Clemens song was amazing. I loved it so much, and they all sounded so good together. The last song was just amazing. My favorite thing about season 6 and 7 is that the cast finally are interacting as a group again, and the best moments of the show are when the ensemble are all in one room. Even at the start with just Kevin and Archie was amazing because both Casey and KJ have amazing vocal chemistry. The hug at the end almost got me tearing up, I can't lie. Such a moment, the Veronica storyline baffles me. It's really confusing how they won't establish whether it's platonic or romantic. I don't understand where between episode 11 and now, where Betty and Archie lost all interest in each other. Episode 11, yeah, like it's so true. Episode 11 gave such good moments for them and left it on such a good note for them to continue on. But since then, it's done a 180 and suddenly it's Veronica now. I love Veronica, but as a duo, don't get me wrong, but I wish we'd done this in like season 3 when both Archie and Jughead had their own plot to deal with.
Agreed.
Doing Veronica now with only 5 to 6 episodes left is bad timing because you have ships like Archie, Jabatha, and Shoni that have had build up and development, and focusing on that would be better use of their time. 100% agreed. MVP in my life, it's going to Kevin. Oh my God. Am I mad it took 7 seasons and 14 episodes to get an actual storyline for Kevin? Yes. But am I glad we got one, period? Yes. I loved everything about him this episode. It was so beautifully done. And if we had this before, he wouldn't be so disliked by me. 100% agreed. LVP, TBH, nobody. Agreed.
Good for that. That's a big turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because after the comments that they made last episode about the fact that they're like pissed off about the fact that we're going to be staying in the 50s.
Yeah.
This episode, actually, I felt that.
Yeah.
I felt like, why are we still in the 50s? I really miss our old characters. It made me feel really nostalgic. Like, this is really taking us into a completely different direction. We're supposed to be okay with the fact that, like, what's transpiring and we're going to stay in the 50s until the end of the season. But then it just got really sad. Maybe it was that final song to see them all together and have that song and feel like this nostalgic, like, this is the final musical. I think it just hit me that I was like, shit, like, if we're staying in this world, like, all the 7 seasons, all the 7 years, but I've been sitting here talking about this podcast, if everyone's been watching,
they don't make like, sense.
Will it make sense?
Did they ever make sense?
That's the real question. That is.
I agree with you, and it was almost like biting my own tongue because I've been saying all season, like, enjoy the ride. And now I'm like, I don't want to get off this ride. I don't like it. Marina says, well, I'm going to say that I don't normally like TV musicals, especially Riverdale ones. So when I saw that it was a musical, I didn't feel like watching. And then when it started, the first song, I said, hell no. I put the speaker on and began to wash the dishes while glancing at the sound song. Having said that, at the end of Archie's first song in the scene, after I felt a shift in the intention, and I have to say that almost every moment of the episode, I was sitting there feeling the feelings. It begins with Archie's posing as the main character, and with Kevin's arc throughout the episode, ends up becoming a unit between all the characters. Best moment, too many to list. The quartet between Clay, Kevin, Cheryl, and Tony, BNB song and subsequent conversation, very mature and honest. Such a moment, Kevin and Tom interaction and conversation. I understand why it was necessary, but for several episodes, we haven't seen them even in the same place together. Maybe I missed something along the way.
Yeah.
Also, when Archie was at Pops and the camera turns and Jughead was there, I'd forgotten they are supposed to be best friends.
Yeah.
MVP, the cast, the production in general, the way they film, the costume design, etc. I think that between BV and Shoni alone, they changed costumes 30 times. Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. Yeah. Also, Clay and Kevin's mom, I know it's very random, but the emotional support of her saying that he's her son and she loves everything about him. LVP, Frank, best line. In that case, Kevin, Clay, when the world catches up and the song is included in this beautiful musical, Tony and I will be there too. But in the meantime, we do enough acting in our real lives. Oh, that was a good line. I just got chills. Yeah, thank you for that.
And we got really one from Mackenzie on Twitter. I'm going to say it real quick. This musical episode was messy AF and not at all what I expected from the final one ever. Also, the musical moment with all the girls singing about their attraction to Archie in this episode was repeating the episode five comic storyline plot with Veronica and Betty fighting over Archie and the comic story My Better Half that created the Jughead created. Instead, you now had Betty, Veronica, and Cheryl and Tony fighting over Archie in Kevin's musical. The recycling of plots took me out as they couldn't help have come up with a more interesting plot than them going back to a show plot line that they've already done that was fake and not even real. It was cheap and lazy because both scenarios were surrounding Valentine's Day. Instead of it being a Sunday Valentine's Day, like in episode five, it was a Friday. There was a really cute moment too, but some choices were head scratch worth. Mm-hmm. Best moment, the Shoni and Clevin song. It was the most interesting part of this episode and beautifully shot. WTF moment, Kevin finally getting a proper plot. Kevin's mom. This woman was actually part of Kevin's trauma with his sexuality in the OG timeline, but now she's the accepting one. Archie also being fond of both Betty and Veronica when we went all season to this point with Archie shitting on Veronica's antics from episode 3 onwards. Tried to turn off Reggie from dating her because she plays games. Plus the fact that we're supposed to buy Archie's gonna be a single man who doesn't want to kiss anyone for multiple episodes willingly. Yeah, I give that until the end of episode 16 before that's retconned.
Reckoned?
Oh, reckoned.
Reckoned?
MVP, Clevin and Shoni as they got well-deserved content. LVP, the writers for pigeonholing this triangle plot line that we've had it since episode 2 to 11 and Barchi heavy foreshadowing and plot-leaning episodes. Last line, I invented it, Kevin, when the girls mentioned how they had to sing about how they were frenemies, where they were and where they were would came from. Sorry, I messed up. Good points.
Yeah, good points. I still feel like we're all very confused.
I think this didn't answer any questions.
And every week you guys want answers, and it's like, oh my god, they're not going to get answers. I think we all know at this point. I think Machen spilled the beans, or someone said it. Oh. No, not Machen. It was the other guy. He's like a writer or something, yeah. Like a reporter.
Yeah.
He said that we are going to be in the 50s till the end. Now, we don't know what that means. We could still in the middle, like, switch back to our character, or like our real characters could come to the 50s. Like, we don't know what that implies because like people got ahead of themselves. Yeah.
For sure.
So I think everyone got like cheesed last week. They were like, oh my god. But that might not be what happens. They're maybe tricking us because like they do that shit, right? So
yeah,
let's just see what happens.
My worry was like, were they supposed to get a reaction that's like, yes, we're gonna stay in the 50s? Like, if they leak that information,
yeah. Then like maybe that would be real. I told you this last week too. I bet you it was all logistical. It was all like maybe I wrote this in the comment, but literally I bet you they were too not lazy, but like maybe they didn't have enough money to switch all the sets back to current time, to change all the clothes back to current times, the cars of current time. Like playing around with those two timelines is a very expensive thing in a production.
True.
To get that done. So I bet you they were like, you know what, forget it. Let's just scrap the modern day. If anything, they can just change the clothes quickly. Yeah. But like, let's not like actually take the universe back to that time. And I bet you that was all due to logistical reasons. I can guarantee you that.
And honestly, they can fix all of this in a scene on green.
Yeah.
Floating in space where Tabitha basically explains everything. Maybe that's all we're going to get. And maybe that's
or like, all it is. Maybe they're a pops and they finally like break the curtain and like we see like even though they're in their 50s clothes, they realize who they really are.
Or they pull a Hills and a
Yeah. And it's Brody Jenner on the backdrop at a studio. I love that. Yeah. That would be funny, right?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Yeah. I like it's funny because I kinda wanna watch our first episode from this season where we made the prediction of what the final episode was gonna look like and see how that compares to how I
We should clip that for sure.
Because I'm sure it's changed.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means to still say in the 50s, but
yeah.
It's going to be different. Sure.
Let's see what happens, guys.
Let's see what happens.
Thanks for listening.
I'd like to take this time to thank our patrons of the episode, our Rewinder squad. We have White, Cliff, Hannah, Julia, and Haley, our Lib Rewinders, Tina and Kate, and our Mommy Rewinders, Becca Sarah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you to our patrons. If you would like to join our Patreon family, check us out. I should know it by now. check us out at patreon.com/recap_rewind.
And also make sure you're checking us out on all of our socials, on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. I'm trying to do it too.
Yeah, everything. Twitter, YouTube.
The TikToks. And you can also find us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. Like, subscribe, follow, review, and comment. Stay engaged with us at Recap Rewind. Thanks so much for listening.
Bye. Oh, look at that.